Oh,
What's up, bro?
what up, man? I fucking had a double quarter pounder with some large fries, and I got this large Fanta I'm working on. Orange soda, you already know how we do it.
If I even look at that, I'm gonna gain 10 pounds. That's insane.
Hey,
A
man,
double quarter pounder?
a whole double quarter pounder,
That
so a half pounder.
that's a half pound of beef just sitting in your guts.
Yeah, and a large fry and half of this large soda,
But you
orange soda.
don't feel the slightest bit sweaty or tired or gross after that?
No, man, I feel like I run like 2 miles.
That's insane. What a different mindset. I can't even wrap my head around that shit, man. That's bananas. Like I said, congratulations. You won the fucking genetic lottery when it comes to that shit.
Oh man, I
God.
fucking love it.
God.
I gained 3 pounds since I last weighed myself last month. So I'm
Dude.
officially over 165 now. I'm at 166.
Oh. That's so
So
great
I'm
for you. I'm so
slowly
happy
working
you
my way up.
broke 165 pounds soaking wet after lunch. Congratulations on your struggles. No, I won't diminish that. I know for some people, like that's really hard to put weight on. But like, yeah, again, you may have some of mine. If you are desperate to get some weight, some meat on those bones, let's go into surgery. They can suck the fat out of my guts and my ass and my legs and just pump it right into your guts, man. It's bro. It's a bro thing. That's a real bank bros thing right there. You just
Oh
eat
no,
my
that's more
fat.
of a Bang Bros thing.
That's a little more intimate. I don't even know if it's bang bros. That's like you do that for your loved one kind of thing. Like you're giving me a kidney or something. Here's some of my fat. I'm donating it to you out of pure love. I don't know if I'm glad. I don't know if I'm that close with anybody. So that's a little much.
That's yeah, that's a lot, man. Like that's something you'll have that conversation with your son before anyone else.
Right, if he really needs it, because he's a little skinny boy too. So I don't know what I gotta do, because he runs it all off. He'll eat the same way you do, but he'll go outside and rollerblade and fucking run for 3 fucking miles and then just burnt off. So yeah, I don't know where he gets
Yeah.
those genetics from, because it ain't me and it ain't my family tree, because most of us are fucking chubby as fuck. So don't know where they get it from. It's the
Hey man,
weirdest fucking thing.
I don't know. This fuck, I don't know, God.
I guess, man, I'm trying to just keep them on the level of like, because I was like a chubby kid growing up too. So I don't want my kids to go through that. And it's weird trying to balance like making them eat a full meal and making them finish their food, because that's how I grew up. You sat at the
Yeah.
table until you were done.
Hell yeah.
But like doing that now, it's almost like frowned upon. You hear all the research and the opinions about like, oh, it's causing a bad relationship with food if you sit there and make them eat all their food and I'm like, that sounds like y'all doing too much research and not enough parenting, man. Like
You know, how do you feel about that?
it's one of those things where I see the point of view, but it's also just like, this is a battle we just don't need to have. Like there's a difference between making my daughter finish her vegetables and me sitting there making them eat a whole Thanksgiving meal without leaving the table for, until they start crying and shit. Like there's a fine line there, but I don't think the research necessitates all of these people coming out of the woodwork saying that, like, if I make them sit and eat vegetables, that's a bad thing. Like, I'm trying to, because if I don't enforce it, they won't eat a green thing in their lives until they're out of my house. Like, I figure it's my job to try to balance their diet so it's not just all Starburst and chips and shit. And fucking large orange sodas like your ass got. So
Yeah.
I'm trying to balance it somewhere. I'm not saying I'm out here like a Nazi with the vegetables and shit. I make them eat a vegetable like once a year, maybe. So, but when I'm making vegetables, fucking eat them. Like it's for a good reason. You'd eat that shit. But I don't want to be the guy who's like desperately trying to keep them skinny either. Like that's genetics, that's DNA, that's how it's they're gonna turn out how they're gonna turn out, no matter what I do. So it's a fine line. It's a weird balance trying to do both without being overbearing about it. So,
Now, when you were growing up
oh,
and you were forced to finish your food at the table, what was the reason for that? What was the reason that your parents gave you?
because that's how they were raised. So knowing my grandparents, especially my grandmother, like that was, and I've talked about this a long time ago on the show, that was always the fucking rule. If you didn't have a clean plate, your ass sat there until it was gone. That was just the standard. So, you get certain things generationally you pass down. And I know that's where my mom got it from. But, my mom is a little different. Her thing was always because, like, she works so hard to put the food on the table, it's like disrespectful not to finish it. And that's kind of where my mentality comes from. It's not because I'm just like desperate for them to eat everything. They're fine the way they are, but it's like, if I'm paying money, I want the food gone. That's just point. That's just a respect thing for me. Like,
and if you're cooking
especially if I'm cooking it, I'm spending money on the groceries and the labor to cook it too. The least you can do is stuff it in your mouth. Even if it doesn't taste that good, which it does, even if it doesn't taste that good, that's just respectful. Just, you know, you finish your meal. But I get it. It's different age. I can't parent the same way my mom parented. At least I can take bits and pieces from it. But I just think sometimes
fuck that. Keep doing it.
Keep doing it. I'm not changing a damn thing. Trust that.
Because, man, no. I was having this conversation with Kelly Rowland the other day. I'm like, look, my kids going to finish their food.
That's right. That's right. How does she feel about that?
She doesn't really care. But me, hell no. My kids going to finish their food. Like,
right.
Not only for the reasons you said, but how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Exactly.
And if you can't even finish your food, how are you going to finish anything in life that you start?
Oof. Preach. I'm the same way about that. I'm definitely the guy who drops the "there's starving kids in Africa" line every single time. Like, I told Sid all the time, like, I will take you to a soup kitchen. I will let you see. You need to see with your eyes, like, how blessed you are to have a house like this, to have food on the table. And I'm not saying you have to think about that every single time you have a meal, but when it's a temper tantrum because I don't want to finish something, it's like, do you understand, like, this is a blessing, that this is something that someone works for to put in front of you, and that not everybody in the world gets it this easy? Like, that's where my thing is. It's the appreciation. It's not taking shit for granted. I don't want my kids to be spoiled or anything like that. So,
right. It's like you crying, it's like you crying because you got too much food.
Right.
Kids crying because they don't have any food.
Exactly. Like, it's so out of their realm of reality of that even exists in this world, that people are homeless, that people are hungry, that people, you know, have diseases. Like, to kids, like, that doesn't really exist. And I'm trying to keep them in the bubble as much as I can, but, like, that's something where if you explain that to them, that those circumstances happen to people, and that the stuff around us, the house and the cars and the dog and the backyard, like, that takes real work and sacrifice to achieve, to avoid all of the alternatives. So it's tough trying to teach kids that. They don't see it with their own eyes. They don't know what that even is. So it's a battle, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I don't have any kids, but.
But you understand that, you know, you helped raise kids, so you know, like, it's the same principles. Yeah, it's the little battles you get as a dad, I'm telling you. I try to pick the ones I can win without a lot of stress, but it's not always easy, man, I'm telling you. And that one is a sticking argument all the time in this house, where it's like, you got dad is a big old boy, likes to cook and eat. Like, y'all better fall in line.
Y'all over here eating fucking Starbursts and hot Cheetos.
Right, in the middle of the day and shit. I'm like, man, what the? Like, Sully came home from school today, ate like 30 fucking Starbursts. I was like, what the? I wasn't even in the same room. I just came out, all the fucking wrappers on the table. I was like, what the? When did you have time to stuff? Like, that was a mission. He came home thinking about that. He's like, I'm going to get some fucking Starbursts and play some Minecraft.
He had to unwrap all of them, too.
All of them. I was like, damn, dude. So he's got some schemes up there, I think. He's a sensitive kid, but he's crappy.
Sully schemes.
Oh no. It's not good when it's catchy. That's gonna come up to bite me in the ass. I already fucking know it.
Oh shit.
It's gonna be, I still got another 10 years for that, I think, but he's gonna come up with that shit on his own. Oh man, but how's your week? How's your weekend? How's everything going?
Weekend was great. Had a wedding. My guy got married.
Hey, all right. Shout out to him.
Kelly Rowland pulled up.
Nice.
And I mean, what kind of drunk are you?
I was like, I think I know what you're asking me. It's like the kind of drunk I get to be when I'm drunk. I would say, okay, so here's the thing about that. There's a curse that I've had. I don't know if I talked about this on the show before. Something happens to me every time, especially specifically weddings. Every time I go to a wedding, I'll get drunk. It's fun. And I'm the kind of, to answer your question, I'm the kind of drunk that's like extra social. So I'm already a pretty social guy, but like it all comes out when I'm drunk. Like I'm everybody's best friend, but I'm a Libra. So I'm the kind of guy who's like, and you and I have the same kind of thing where if the vibe is off, I'm not having a good time. If everyone's not having a good time, it doesn't sit right with me. So I'm the kind, I'm the caretaker. I'm the kind who's really drunk and really fun and really social. But if you're not having a good time, it will kill my vibe real quick. So I am that kind of guy. You saw that at karaoke.
Yep.
When
yep.
I'm just
when
like,
we went out.
Does everybody need something? Everybody need a drink? Everybody's got like, are you having fun? Are you having a, like,
yeah.
I am that guy. So, but I mentioned weddings because this stupid thing happens to me. And my wife and I, not argue, but I give her shit for this because she never realizes it happens. I am always the one who gets stranded with a person who I don't want to talk to every single wedding.
You're Stu from The Hangover.
Kinda. Yes. Yes. That's very accurate. Didn't even think about that. That's very accurate. So literally every wedding, we will get a straggler who, and it's somebody random. I'll never see it coming. One time it was the DJ of the wedding. One time it's just a friend of the family. One time it's a drunk uncle or something. One time it was a dude who just ended up at a wedding and he barely knew anybody there. But they always flock to me to the point where the group that I'm with will fuck off and go have a good time and get on the dance floor and get more drinks. But I will be locked into a conversation with this person who is overly friendly, won't stop talking to me, thinks we have things in common and interests. And I'm just being friendly, like, hey, okay, you know, small talk and, oh, that's crazy. That's crazy them to death. But it'll be like another hour or two. And I'm still stuck there. And the rest of the group goes, where's Siege? And I go, like, you guys left me behind. Help me. So Rachel and I actually came up with code words now. I'm not going to say what the code words are. But we have a catchphrase now, like a code word. If this happens and I'm in a situation, I either say it to her, I make like a gesture at her, or I text it to her, and she'll come and save me.
Peacock.
I'm not saying what it is.
Rhino.
Not saying what it is. But... It is distinct enough. Pineapples. That's a whole different story. It's distinct enough where if I said it in a sentence, you would know something was up. But not too crazy where you think I'm trying to bail on you. It's just like that's a weird thing to say. Yes. That's what I think a good safe word is. But that's all. That's my catch. Every single fucking wedding, I'm the one who gets stranded with somebody I don't want to talk to. For hours, man.
But, you know, like, that's so you, though.
I know. I hate it. I fucking hate
it. Like you said, you're such a social guy. It only makes sense that people would flock to you, people you don't even, that you just met.
Can I not be that guy? At least I'm trying to have a good time at a wedding, man. I'm not trying to sit and talk to your ass for 2 hours about movies that I watched 30 years ago. Like,
sort of God. Come on the show for that.
Right. Like, I got a platform, man. Don't waste it. Talking my ear off and I'm not even listening to you at the wedding. Like, I'm trying to find the exits. I'm trying to get the fuck out. Like, that, man, I can't stand it.
But I asked you that because, like, I'm the horny drunk.
Of course you are.
So,
no surprise.
Man, you know what I'm saying? So, my weekend was great, to say the least.
Nice.
And,
yeah, boy.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit. The week's been pretty chill. Just been watching basketball, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it. And we'll get into that in a little bit.
That's all I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? And we'll get into it later in the show. But, you know, how's your week been?
I mean, good. I mean, happy Mother's Day to all of our listeners. This past weekend was Mother's Day. So that was kind of what everything was centered around. And, you know, we had a really sweet weekend. I mean, with Rach, you know, she works most of the weekends and shit. So we kind of had to do, like, Mother's Day stuff last Friday and then, like, Sunday morning. So we split it up a little bit. But overall, I mean, we spoiled her, you know, dinner and gifts. And I made fucking breakfast on the Blackstone. That was
nice.
Like a breakfast in bed thing. That shit was dope. I made French toast out of croissants.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you end up cutting the croissants and, like splitting them?
You split them in half.
Yeah. Okay.
Dunk them in the French toast batter. Yeah. You throw them in the Blackstone.
Yep.
You top that shit with some powdered sugar and some fruit and some straw, you know, syrup if you want that. But that shit is flaky and buttery. Oh, man.
I see the vision.
That was a hit. It was a hit. So we did that for her. We got her some gifts, you know, showered her with love and all that. And then Sunday afternoon, we ended up surprising my mom. We went out to see her. She lives out in Madison. So we had my brothers and I put together, and her husband put together a surprise for her where she thought she was just getting taken out to lunch by her husband after church. But then all of her sons showed up. So we were all there and she was super excited and crying and stuff. So that was a really nice lunch. And, you know, we enjoyed each other's company for a while, got her a gift too. I bought her a vinyl record player.
Nice.
Very, She was very happy with that. I know she's always talked about mine that I have here and my little vinyl collection that I got and shit. So, yeah, I got a lot of my music taste from my mom. So I bought her that, and I bought her her first album on that, too. I bought Marvin Gaye, 1978. Ooh. 1978 at the Palladium in London, bro. That's a Ooh. Hot album. Hot double album, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Marvin Gaye, that's...
Woo!
You want to just talk about vocals. That's probably my number one guy all time.
He's one of the absolute greatest of all time. I'm a huge fan. Died way too young, but just, yeah, man. I grew up with Marvin Gaye, and I know how much my mom likes Marvin Gaye, too. So, yeah, man, that was pretty great. And other than that, I mean, wrapped up a soccer season in the books again. So, finally can switch back to just, you know, other shit, not doing soccer every single week. And it does absorb a lot of your weekend when you are a part of that organization. So, we're back on the off season until fall, so that would be good. Neither kid won a single game this season, but
oh man,
everybody had fun. And of course, Sully, you know, broke his wrist, so his season was done. You know, with 2 weeks ago, but that's fine.
IR.
He was a good sport though. I asked him like, "Hey, do you want to like just skip the last couple games, or would you want to sit on the bench and root your team on?" He goes, "I want to be on the bench with my team." And I said, "That's a really good sport. Like." Yeah. You're injured, you can't play, but you're out there supporting your teammates while they get stomped out. But hey, I'm raising a sportsman. I thought that was being a good sport. Yeah. So good Hell for yeah. him. He's learning some shit. I think his cast will be off in about less than 2 weeks now. So he's gonna be a good summer for the kid.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes, sir. But I told them both, I'm like, dude, I'm gonna train you both into soccer. Like, there's no way I'm going into another season with my two unless they are like good on their team. And Sid is dying to be a goalie. So I said, okay, I'm going to teach you, but it's going to be like summer camp. I'm going to do like a whole Rocky montage and turn you two into some champions.
Fucking drinking goat milk and shit.
That's right. Bring out the raw eggs, boy. I said, we're watching all the Olympic soccer games. I'm watching the whole fucking tournament. Y'all going to be sick of soccer by August. So that's the plan. I'm going to make them into some stars, man. I'm done with this shit. I'm done with this peewee shit. Let's get the real skills going, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, that's the fucking weekend. We can get to the show whenever you're ready.
Go ahead. Let's cue the music.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Lock, lock.
Fucking music. What? Oh, goddamn.
Glop, glop.
That was a bug. Fucking ants, dude. I swear, I hate this time of year because we get ants just starting to come out of the woodwork. So every once in a while, I'm just like, oh, fuck. I got to spray this whole fucking house down. But that's okay. That's probably living in the Midwest. And just like the Midwest, Bank Bros are very Midwestern, too. So welcome back, everybody, to the Bank Bro Show. Hope you're having a fantastic day or evening, whenever you're listening to this pod, when you like to. That's what we like to say. Like we said, Saturday morning vibes. Anytime you want. That's the Bank Bro Show. I'm your boy Siege. That's your boy Rizzy. Back again for another episode. Like the man says, a lot of basketball going on these days. But other than that, not much in sports. We got a few more fun things to do in this episode. But let's talk about some basketball just so we can wet Ryan's whistle because I know he's dying to talk about it. Before the NBA, because there's plenty to talk about there, I want to talk about the WNBA just for a second. Just for a second. Because for those living under a rock, what I would consider the new face of women's basketball, Caitlin Clark, the number one draft pick for the Indiana Fever, had their opening night against the Connecticut Sun, and everyone was abuzz about Caitlin Clark's big professional debut. How is it going to go after just dominating in Iowa? And for all rights and purposes, her first game was forgettable. It was all right. There's a lot of back talk about it. I kind of want to know your thoughts, if you have any thoughts, especially with the way the season started up. And I'm going to put some clips on just to give you a backing. But how do you feel about Caitlin Clark's debut, and especially all the backlash she's getting from it, which I think is a little unwarranted. But how do you feel, Mr. Basketball Expert?
Well, I'm very flattered that you call me a basketball expert. I just I'm a student of the game. That's what I am. But
student of the game.
But it's exactly what I expected from her.
Mm.
I knew there was going to be somewhat of a growing process transitioning from college to the pros. She's going to have to get used to the physicality, the speed of the game, just like any other NBA rookie, you know, starting their career off. And one thing women cannot get away with is athleticism, because they're all about equally athletic, just like genetically.
Yes.
Like, that's just how it is. And so you have to be that much more skilled. And that was a beautiful action. Oh, my God.
That was lovely.
They screened the screener, which was Caitlin Clark. And that's beautiful action. That was a beautiful action right there. So Caitlin Clark set a screen, and then she ended up getting a screen. And oh, my God. Okay. Anyway.
Beautiful.
But, you know, she showed flashes of, you know, her shot making. I love the way that she can go left and shoot, whether she's on the move or off the dribble, because a lot of right-handed shooters rather start from the left and go to the right, because it'll set you up better in your base to get up in your shot, to make your shot a little more consistent. But I love the fact that she can go left, pull up, off the catch, off the screen, whatever the case may be. I think, see, she went left.
Butter.
Pulled up, made it. Yeah, see? That's exactly what I mean. And also, what makes it going left hard for a right-handed shooter is that no matter what, that right hand is coming up. And when you're on the left side and you're shooting from the right hand, the defender is going to be close to your right hand, as you can see right there.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
They call these up before they even happen. That's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, people need to temper their expectations. I mean, I know she was the number one pick, but at the end of the day, she's a rookie.
Yes.
She went to probably the worst team in the league.
Yeah. Well, so let's not pretend the Fever are any good, really.
No. They haven't been good since Tamika Catchings.
Exactly.
And she had 20 points.
Right.
I know she
not
had
bad.
10 turnovers. I know she had 10 turnovers.
That's the big ball, thing.
That's the thing. Like, people don't understand the game of basketball. When the ball is in your hands, when your usage is so high, of course you're going to turn the ball over.
Right. That's just
you
math.
Know, no disrespect to these WNBA players. I'm not saying this is impossible to do, but these WNBA players, they're not LeBron James.
No.
They're not Chris Paul. You know, they're not guys like, I feel bad saying guys because they're women, but they're not players like that.
Right. It's different.
It's different. Like I said, like, just physically, they're about the same athletically.
Right.
Like, every women's player is about the same athletically.
Yeah.
Of course, there's going to be, you know, some higher up on the scale than others, but, you know, none of them are really dunking like that, is what I'm saying.
No.
And none of them are really running away from each other like what John Wall does or did, what De'Aaron Fox does. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so you have to be that much more skilled. And it's just the adjustment process for Caitlin Clark. And I think she'll be just fine. 20 points in the debut, 10 turnovers. I'm not worried about the turnovers. Let her be.
Right.
You know, I'll say this. You will be much more scared of a pit bull on the loose with no leash than a pit bull on a leash.
Oof.
So let your pit bull go. Let them be them. She'll figure it out.
Absolutely. And let's not even, like, let's call a spade a spade. Connecticut played amazing defense on her. That's really what it was. It's not really about, like, her shots are busted or anything like that. They played double teams on her all fucking night. They understood the assignment, and they locked her up. Like, why else? That you know what she brings to the table. You know she's a shooter. Why else wouldn't you just try to lock her down? So they made her work for every single one of those shots. And it's like, well, yeah, welcome to the pros. The people who were like this upset about it, it's like the pros already told you that going in. There were so many sound bites of people saying, like, she's not going to come in and light the WNBA on fire. That's just, that was never going to happen. She's used to playing against 18-year-olds who are half speed, half as talented as she is. Not disrespecting anybody out there specifically, but like the competition level dramatically increases. That's any rookie to a, you know, a professional sport. So people took that as disrespect. Oh, they're hating on Caitlin. Like, no, this showed you it's the physicality, the athleticism, the fact that these are professionals who know how to track your offensive movements. They do this for a job. They've been doing it. They can match. She's not used to people who can match her speed either. So as good, as beautiful as a shot as she's got, the level that she's stepping up to, it's going to take time to adjust. I still think she is going to light the world on fire eventually. But like, for people who expected that to be in game one, delusional. Delusional. She's great. We love Caitlin around here. But like, Come on, man. It's going to take her some time.
Yeah. And, you know, you brought up a great point. She was getting doubled and tripled, and the whole defensive scheme
right.
that the other team had, that Connecticut had, was stopping Caitlin Clark.
That's the game plan. That was
a
it.
Rookie.
Yeah. That says a lot. That's the game plan for a rookie?
And again, it goes back to the point I made. Indiana's probably the worst team in the league. That's why they were able to pick Caitlin Clark.
Exactly.
They weren't worried about a damn point. Soul outside of Caitlin Clark.
No. So I'm not surprised it went like this, and anybody who did get surprised, I don't think you were paying attention. But here's the thing. Like you said, she's going to be just fine. I want to point out a couple stats to you here. Not even stats, but like outside of basketball kind of stats. The betting at Caesars in Vegas for this game was 6 times higher than the finals of the WNBA last year.
Damn.
For this debut game, 6 times higher at Caesars. This game was the most bet WNBA game, more than any WNBA game last year. This game. She's going to be just fucking fine. That's all I'm
and
saying.
The league is going to be just fine, too.
Woo! They know it. They know it. The league is about to blow up because of this girl. So, and I mean, it's not just Caitlin. We get it. Because I didn't even bring it up last time. The Chicago Sky, who's my WNBA team, ended up with Angel Reese. So I'm buying a fucking jersey.
And that other girl from South Carolina.
Yes. Cardoso, I believe her name.
Yeah. She's the center.
Both of them. They got
twin towers.
That's right. That's right. As soon as I saw that, I think, oh, what the fuck was I doing? I forgot to bring it up last time. But yes, when I saw those two get drafted to Chicago, I was like, that's a story. I know Indiana and Caitlin's one thing. Chicago is a fucking story here.
And you know, I'm glad you brought him up because my opinion is I think Angel Reese will be a better pro earlier in her career than Caitlin Clark will be.
I 100% agree.
Angel Reese's game just translates way better to the pros. She's already got the size. She can rebound her ass off. She can block shots, and she could finish around the rim with her left and right hand.
Exactly.
So she's going to be a double-double machine right out the gate. And
I
know you've seen some of it in the preseason.
That's right. So there is a lot going on, more than just Caitlin Clark is all I'm saying. But just for those of you out there going a little nuts about that first game, go touch grass, relax.
Hit a joint.
Just fine. Definitely. Please hit a joint. Just do something other than talking shit about something you don't know about. My God. But that's women's basketball. Let's transition over to men's basketball, your favorite, because a lot's going on there. We know about the NBA playoffs that we'll get into a little bit. The NBA draft picked their lottery picks for how the draft is going to be playing out in that first round. And this man, as our local beloved Detroit Pistons fan, I'm sure is feeling a certain way. Now, I will preface this by saying that last year at this time, we spoke about the NBA draft and the Pistons not getting the number one pick, even though they were the worst team in the league. They followed that up with another worst team in the league performance. What happened in the lottery, Mr. Rizzy?
Man, let me tell you, these motherfuckers at the NBA rigged this shit again. Rigged this motherfucking shit again. Tell me how. We had the worst record in the league. I forgot how many seasons or what season specifically, but it had to be, okay, the year we had Cade.
That was 2021. Yep.
The year Paolo was drafted, which was 2022.
I believe so, yes.
Three? Three or two?
Was it two? Or... I thought it was two.
One of them. Okay,
I thought they were back to back.
Okay, great. And then 2023, we're the worst team too. So I guess three seasons back to back where we could have had the number one pick. Maybe even four. I don't know, because we just suck nowadays. You know why we suck? Because the NBA keeps rigging the draft. We always get the fucking fifth or eighth pick or some bullshit like that. And then now we're stuck to make some shit work or some shit shake with Kay Cunningham and a coach that refuses to play Jaden Ivey over Killian Hayes, who he ended up cutting.
Didn't you get Hayes in like, what was it, 18, 19 pick? No. Not,
yeah, 20? We got him with the 8th or 7th or something.
I mean,
like
that. What year was that?
You know what we could have had?
Years ago.
We could have had like Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah. That was only a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the year Anthony Edwards was drafted.
Oh, Jesus. And you guys got Killian Hayes.
Yeah. You know, our pick later in that draft was better. The two picks we had later in that draft would have been better than Killian Hayes. It was Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart.
Oh my
so
god.
We picked one of them at fucking 7 or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
God damn, we hit the lottery with that.
You're
shit.
Good.
We had a Killian Hayes. God damn.
Oh boy.
But anyway, the Atlanta Hawks had a what 3% chance?
3% chance of getting number one. 3%. The Hawks have never had the number one draft pick before this. Never.
Oh, so the NBA just wants to break records and everyone gets a first now, right?
Everybody.
Everyone gets a first now.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we sacrificed the Pistons so the Lions can be good. That's what it is. Okay, I get it.
That's exactly what it is.
You know,
that's exactly
fuck
what it is.
You, Adam Silver. Fuck you. You know, you and David Stern, rest his soul. I ain't trying to speak bad upon a dead man, but let's just call a spade a spade.
Right.
Y'all motherfuckers been rigging the draft since like Patrick Ewing.
Oh, yeah.
These motherfuckers, let me tell y'all the quick story right here. So Ernst & Whitney, a guy that worked for Ernst & Whitney, it's like a law firm.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Was the quote-unquote neutral spokesman for the NBA when they introduced the lottery like that back then. They televised it. They had all these different – they had the team names in an envelope. They spun the thing, and it was all done by the neutral party. Ernst & Whitney, if you recall, who had the number one pick that year? Who won the number one pick that year? The New York Knicks. Oh, Ernst & Whitney is also the law firm of the owner of the New York Knicks.
Oh,
so he isn't neutral. So guess what happened? Televise this. Y'all can look it up on YouTube. So the motherfucker walked up there. Started putting the envelopes in this big glass case that he was going to spin. He got to the Knicks envelope, pushed it hard up against the wall of the clear thing he was going to shake, bent the corner, and then threw it back into the where all the other envelopes were, passed it over to the spinner, the dude that was spinning the thing.
Yeah.
The dude starts spinning the thing, and you can see David Stern's head moving, following that fucking envelope.
Oh, man.
Envelope. And then next thing you know, fucking David Stern walks up, getting ready to grab whoever got the first pick. He takes a deep breath. Why are you taking a deep breath?
Woo! A lot's riding on that.
Why are you nervous? You scared? You scared? The fucking Golden State Warriors were gonna get the first pick, and they were gonna get Patrick Ewing in that small ass market at the time. This is before
terrible.
Steph Curry.
Terrible.
I don't think so. What about the Seattle Supersonics? Oh, you mean the team that moved to Oklahoma City later?
They weren't
fucking getting the first pick. No. Of course, the New York fucking Knickerbockers ended up getting the first pick, and that's the envelope he was looking for, and that's the envelope he found. So I say all that to say, y'all need to stop rigging this shit, cut the lottery, just
Please.
Do it like the NFL does. Worst team picks first, best
Thank
team
you.
Or whoever wins it all picks last. That's the most fair way to do it, because if it's in a lottery and you guys aren't even televising the lottery, you guys are just televising the results. You guys are doing all this shit behind a screen in the back. That bullshit. You know,
like
this
that.
Reminds me of when I used to work at Foot Locker and we used to raffle like shoes and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to rig that shit.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like y'all doing shit I used to do working
right.
at Foot Locker, rigging these shoes for my guys.
He's
so
like,
I
know
cash
how it works.
On the side. How this shit work, man? Like, come on, at least rig this shit for me.
Right.
Make the Pistons the number one pick. At least that shit's believable.
Exactly.
A fucking 15% chance, 15 out of 100, lost to 3 out of 100.
Wow.
The math ain't mathing.
No, it's not. It never has, really. But I fucking hate the NBA draft lottery. I always have. It's the dumbest thing in sports to me. Like, why? Why is it luck to get the number one pick? That's got nothing to do with it. It should be based off the record.
Mm-hmm.
The worst teams should get better picks to balance out the league. Otherwise, what the fuck are we doing?
You're just
how
creating.
Does this help Atlanta?
You are. How should I say this? You are systematically planting super teams into the NBA and
Absolutely.
Getting away with it. But then when players want to form their own super teams, they get villainized.
They don't want to hear that conversation. They don't want to hear that one.
No, because they get mad when these grown black men who make a lot of money put matters into their own hands.
Yep. Start combining forces and shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then when it's done by these fucking white dudes in an office who probably never stepped foot on a basketball court day in their lives, it's okay. It's all good.
Oh, man. You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all, man. I don't get it. But here's like the kicker for me of all things. Yes, the Atlanta Hawks won the number one pick. I'm of a person who thinks, are they even going to use it? I don't think they're even going to use number one pick. Atlanta's the kind of team that has so many fucking holes. And they have superstars where I'm like, dude, trade the pick. Trade the pick for a fucking haul. That's what I see Atlanta doing. It makes way more sense for them to trade that shit for assets Instead of, I looked at like the top three prospects going to this draft. This is nothing compared to the last few years. This is the draft where getting the number one pick doesn't mean you're getting a superstar. It just doesn't. So
I'm glad you said that.
Right. And I'm sure you might feel differently about that. But me, I'm just like, for someone like Atlanta, where they're not one star away from competing into something really well outside the play-in tournament, like, trade it. That's what I would do. But what are your thoughts on that, though?
No, I actually agree with you in the statement that having the number one pick in this draft isn't really like having the number one pick in last year's draft or
right.
the year before that with Paolo or
you're not
the year
getting
before
Wimby.
That with Cade Cunningham.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, you're not getting Wimby in this draft. So
I think this draft, the top 10 prospects, I don't think they're that far apart from each other.
No.
But I don't think there's one guy that sets themselves apart from the rest. No. I think these teams have to be smart with how they scout these players and how they're going to fit with the team that they currently have. Because none of these dudes are going to be superstars. A lot of these dudes are going to be very good role players, maybe second options at best, third right. options realistically. Unless one of these prospects, probably like a Stephon Castle, somebody like that, that can play defense, that's going to set them apart. Alex Sarr could play some defense too.
Yeah. Sarr is a big name I've been looking at, but that's, I like what you said. Yeah, the gap isn't that wide here.
No, it's not. It's not. So it's, this is a very, I don't want to call it a weak draft.
No.
But you have to be very strategic.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's why I'm happy.
More technical.
And that's why I'm actually happy the Pistons have the fifth pick in this draft. I just don't like the fact that this shit keeps getting rigged.
Right.
But the fact that we have the fifth pick, A, going off like what we've done in the past, probably not going to fuck that up.
Probably not.
Because if we had the first pick, we was going to fuck that up and pick a Darko-ass player.
Yeah, it's true.
But, I mean, if I was Atlanta, I would actually keep DeJounte Murray and Trae Young together.
Mm. I feel like Murray's a goner, but that's just me.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but
Murray's a big piece.
If I'm trying to win right away.
Oh, yeah.
I'm keeping them too.
Yes, I think they should. I just don't think it's going to happen.
And I'm going to take the route of like a Dallas Mavericks. Mm. You know, I have two very good guards that each can lead an offense when the other one's on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to add bigs around them and players around them that can switch, guard multiple positions, block shots, and hit threes.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Sarr fits that mold. I think Alex Sarr fits exactly what they need. He can come in, doesn't even have to play the five right away. He can play the four. He might even play some three. You never know. Because he can shoot the ball and he can defend almost every position and he can move at 7 feet tall. So if I was them, I would stay put and take Alex Sarr and continue to refill my roster with young talent like Jalen Johnson. I don't know what they're gonna do with DeAndre Hunter. I think they just paid him a pretty decent contract. Like he's making like 20 some odd million, close to 30 million.
I believe so, yeah.
That's like mid-level money now in the NBA. I think he's a good piece to a championship team because he could defend and hit threes. But that's what I would do. Continue to build on that and continue to build around your two best players.
I like keeping Murray and Young together for sure. I think Murray, just if that name is like top of most teams' list, that's why I'm like, I don't see him keeping Murray. But I like what you're thinking. Like, if you just keep building, they have a nice young core. It's just success-wise, they're just getting left behind. That's just all it really is. I don't think they're playing bad basketball. But, yeah, continuing what you're doing. And that's what I was saying. Skip Sarr, just empty the fucking pockets, trade the number one pick, and just keep Murray and Young together and build more, get more assets, build that team up, make it around those two guys. But I don't see a way they keep Murray and use the number one pick and get Sarr and everything is just peachy. Like that'd be interesting. That would make Atlanta a little more interesting to watch, but
yeah, that was kind
I
of
don't
bad.
Know.
Keep things peachy in the peach state.
Yeah, I didn't even try to do that. That's good stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just saw when Atlanta got the number one, I was like, that's the one team that I don't even think even needs the number one pick. I think they need the assets. So
no, this is they absolutely didn't need it. If they landed in the top five and they didn't get one or two, they probably would have traded it.
Exactly. So they're open for business right now. So I don't know. The number one pick does a lot for them that they can maneuver, but.
Yeah,
boy, I don't know. But, yeah, Detroit's at 5, and Chicago is sitting there at 11. Hooray. another spot, another draft where we don't get anybody of value.
That's where you guys go wrong, where you guys make the play-in and lose.
Yep. Another year of mediocrity. Here we go. Woo! Oh, boy. Milwaukee's down at number 23, so both my teams are just, like, in no position to improve anything after a rough fucking season. So, great. It's going to be fucking fantastic. I can't wait. Can't wait. But speaking of the playoffs, let's swing back and kind of check in on the results of the conference semifinals. I just saw the Knicks yesterday with a huge blowout win on the Pacers because the Pacers were baking them for a little bit. And the Knicks came back and just destroyed them after they got blown out in game four. So big comeback. Knicks up 3-2 on the verge of eliminating Indianapolis in Indy. So that is going to be very fucking interesting. But I want to know what else you're seeing in this series and the other three series as well. Just we're getting kind of close to the wire here. I know Celtics wrapped shit up earlier today, so
we ain't gonna talk about that because we
knew that shit was gonna happen. So yeah, nothing to talk about there. They're I think in their third straight conference finals now. So get the job done, Boston. You better. But what do you think about the other three series going on?
All right, so let's finish up with the East. Honestly, I hate talking about this Knicks and Pacers series because I feel like this is the most tainted series in the playoffs.
And it's tainted by the refs. Yeah.
These games are refed completely different in New York and in Indiana.
It's bad. It's so bad.
I don't know how more like blatant this shit can be or how worse it can get because it's gotten to a point where Rick Carlisle and his Indiana Pacers staff sent clips to the NBA. Like, look at these clips. We didn't get calls, or this was called, either one of the two. And shit didn't go into our favor, but clearly the film is going to tell you otherwise. Right. And guess what the NBA did? They informed the New York Knicks. Mm-hmm. The Knicks had nothing to do with that. The Knicks were not in communication about ref calls or anything like that.
Right.
What did the NBA tell the Knicks? FYI, we're going to make sure you lose these next two games. But we're going to make sure you win the next two just because, you know, the Pacers have been talking. So we just need them to shut up a little bit.
Right.
That's so what it sounds like. And that's what it looks like to me. I don't think there's anything schematically that the Pacers are doing wrong.
No,
I think they're playing to the best of their ability with the team that they have.
Yep.
And the Knicks, they looked drained in Indiana. It looked like Brunson was tired as fuck and he was feeling the pressure of the team not doing shit around him.
Let's say he's exhausted carrying that team and dragging them to a fucking finals here.
Yeah.
He's tired.
And one thing I do like about the series, though, is that it feels very much like a 90s style.
Yes. I was going to say the same thing. It definitely feels old school to me. Yes.
And I do appreciate that, but it's hard for me to really enjoy the series the way that I want to because when I watch it from my eyes, like, the refs just got this all the way fucked up because they're favoring the Knicks, and it's clear as day.
Oh, yeah. Last time we checked, it was, what, over 80 clips that the Pacers sent them?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's too many examples of some bullshit. So you got to know something's up.
Yeah.
Somebody making some cash on the side or something. But you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But Knicks bounce back in this game. Brunson is back doing his superstar shit, 44 points, 7 assists. So Heat's right back on the Pacers. Do you think the Knicks close it out in game 6?
I think they do.
I think they do too, which is kind of crazy.
I think Brunson gets some help from somebody. Josh Hart, Dante.
Maybe Gento, yep.
Maybe even Hartenstein. You know, I think his role players come up big, and I think they get the job done on the road.
Mm-hmm. I think see it.
Yeah, I think game 5 is the most important game of any series, and I think whoever wins game 5 will probably win not even game 6, but eventually the series if it goes to 7.
It's usually pretty pivotal, yeah. I could definitely see that. But a conference finals with Boston and New York, that's the most corporate shit I've ever heard. Two mega market teams in the conference finals. Like, what?
Yeah.
When's the last time we had that shit?
Yeah, it's because the shit is rigged.
I agree. The reffing is just abysmal. It's so blatantly bad.
In my opinion, if you take these two teams to the park, I got Indiana.
Honestly, yeah. Young, hungry dudes, like, just balling. Like, Indy's got talent.
They're the ones that, you know, push the ball up and down the court, hit threes. Yeah. You know, everyone touches the ball. New York, when they play, Jalen Brunson dominates the ball. The ball doesn't move as much as Indiana. I'm not saying they don't share the ball because, you know, at times they do. But they don't share the ball like Indiana. They're not getting up and down like Indiana. They're not
That's
shooting
right.
threes like Indiana.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
They're a scrappy team. That's just the Knicks, you know. But you're right. Brunson is the show with the New York Knicks. And the Pacers, very much team ball. I mean, Haliburton is a huge piece. We know that. But, like, that's a team-centric, everyone does their job kind of team. So
Nembhard hit that step-back game winner.
Oh, yeah.
Nesmith coming into his own. And then the two bigs, Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam. That's a very good 4-5 matchup.
Siakam's been great. So,
Siakam's been great. Turner's been great, too.
Turner's been great. Mm-hmm. I could see it. I mean, I kind of – yeah, I had New York winning that one, too. But that, to me, I don't know how the refing's going to be with Boston and New York. That's going to be good God. Like, probably a fucking
That's
mess.
When they can just do their job.
They'll just be the normal refing at that point?
Yeah, yeah. They can be normal. Like,
the teams that are supposed to be here are here. Everybody do your job. That's what the memo says. So, my God.
Because you think about it, the last few years, like, Brooklyn was supposed to be that team.
Oh,
you
know, man.
Milwaukee won damn near on accident.
Yep. That's so it's true. Like,
it's like, you know, they're trying to make up for lost time.
I could definitely see that. Then on the West side, Timberwolves and Nuggets. Nuggets just went up 3-2, but this has been a hot series. What have you been seeing in this one?
Nothing that I haven't learned. Nothing that I haven't already known. I knew that the first two games were the only games that the Timberwolves are going to win.
Now, I did say Denver was going to win four straight, but we're almost there.
No, yeah, I think we're going to get there.
That's crazy.
Before the series, I had Denver in six.
Yep.
And I stood by it last week. We both did.
Yep. Like, sorry, Minnesota. This is Denver, bro. This is the champs.
And last night was the perfect example of why Minnesota's never going to win anything as long as they got Rudy Gobert on the team.
Oh,
this man
Rudy.
Does nothing for you. He was getting absolutely destroyed, demolished. I mean, just put on the fucking buffet platter on Jokic's plate. Like, Jokic was taking this boy to and from school and then dropping him off at daycare. Jokic was going in on this man. Jokic had 40. Now, there's a story. Fucking Denver's playing Utah. Gobert's still on the Jazz. Jokic catches the ball in the post. Double's going to come. Gobert says, no, I'm good. I'm good. Jokic turns to him and says, brother, I have 40.
Torch. Totally torch. I want to remind our listeners that this is the defensive player of the year.
I've never seen
the MVP and getting fucking roasted like it's Thanksgiving.
I've never seen a defensive player of the year who cannot play defense, who cannot guard, who cannot stop the man he's supposed to stop.
I'm sorry.
I've never heard of one like that. Ben Wallace. He was stopping people.
Oh, yeah.
Dikembe Mutombo, he was protecting that rim.
Mm-hmm.
Metta World Peace, Ron Artest, he was locking up.
He'll stab you first before you get to the rim.
Dennis Rodman, you know who Dennis Rodman is.
Oh, yeah. That's all you got to say is his name.
Fucking Kawhi.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't even know if he has one. I think he does. But
well, a championship off his defensive skills. Like,
Come on, man.
But
Gobert? And you wonder why this man hasn't won anything.
I don't get it. I don't get why you won it this year. Like this.
No, it should have been Victor Wembanyama.
Right. What are you guys seeing? But this game was a prime example. And I know it's Jokic, and Jokic is a three-time MVP for a reason, but it's still like that. If you're the defensive player of the year, you don't get cooked like this. That was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. In a playoff game, a crucial one. That's when you were up 2-0. Like, what happened, Minnesota? Like,
you couldn't win one game at home.
Right, one? You got Ant playing out of his mind. And y'all can't win one at home, bro. Like,
oh, I'm glad you brought up Ant because the Denver Nuggets have been doing a better job defending Ant these last few games. They're throwing multiple bodies at him. They're blitzing him a lot more, showing a lot of different coverages at him, sometimes playing zone. And on the flip side, Denver has adjusted the way they run their offense. Mm. Now, yesterday's game, I think they played yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, as I was watching it, they would clear the entire right side of the court. So they would have Aaron Gordon like closer to the short corner ish dunker spot, which is like right in between the corner and the box of the free throw.
I can see it.
And then they had Michael Porter Jr. in the corner, and they had another shooter up top at the wing on the left side. And then they just ran a 2-man game with either Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. If it wasn't Jamal Murray, it was Aaron Gordon.
Right.
One, clears that entire right side for Jokic and Jamal Murray to work. And number two, when it was Aaron Gordon, Aaron Gordon allows you the ability and the freedom to take Jamal Murray off the ball, who's been getting hounded 94 feet by Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels. So you're resting. Oh, yeah. Pounded and hounded. So you allow Jamal Murray to rest and get easier looks at the rim. You allow him to come off of like pin downs and other things and make easy reads. See, this is why I love playing the shooting guard position, because in basketball, you're playing off the ball. And normally, a screen is going to be set for you to go and catch the ball. And when you catch the ball, easy reads.
Yep.
One, shoot. Two, lanes open, you drive it. Three, pass it to the big.
Yep.
Very easy reads. But when you're the point guard dribbling the ball up the court, you got to, oh, shit, okay, I'm getting pressure 94 feet. I got to break my man. Boom, I got to get past half court in 8 seconds. Because if I don't do that, it's going to be a fucking violation, turnover. And once I get up the court and I got to call it the play, that's a lot going on. People that's don't understand
the mental aspect
of being a point guard getting guarded 94 feet in a game. So the Denver Nuggets have been adjusting. The Timberwolves ain't done shit.
Oh, man. I mean, he makes it sound so simple, folks, but that's exactly what's going on. And this is the reason I think Minnesota is about to cough it up and blow what should have been a somewhat easy win in this series here. I thought the first couple games, they were looking really good. Now, it wasn't making me think they were winning this whole thing, but going up 2-0 against this team, that you put your foot on your necks and you finish the job. You start letting someone like Denver just start creeping back, they're going to take it from you. And then we're going back and looking at you and going, it's another what if. It's another shoulda, coulda, woulda. So I don't know, Minnesota. I think they're cooked here too. Next game is where? Is that
in Minnesota.
It's in Minnesota? Okay. I think they're going to lose at home, which is
again.
Damn.
They're going to go 0-3 at home in this series.
Woof. That's where someone needs to get fired. And his name is Rudy Gobert. But anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say the same shit. It ain't the coach. It ain't Cat. Cat's been playing pretty good.
Yeah.
Ant. It definitely ain't Ant. He's the franchise.
Exactly. So Gobert is like.
Yeah, Gobert got to get shipped, man.
What you doing, Gobert? What you doing? Oh, we'll see how that goes too. And then you have the Thunder and Mavericks sitting over here tied up 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about that series now?
Now, this series has been the most entertaining to watch. I'm not going to lie to you.
I like it.
A lot of good shot making, a lot of beautiful basketball being played by Luka, Kyrie, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Mm-hmm. Whether they're scoring or playmaking for others, beautiful basketball. It's exactly how I would teach somebody to play basketball.
Right.
It's going exactly the way I thought it would go. Back and forth, because these two teams, although I feel like Dallas has a clear advantage,
mm-hmm.
When it comes to like rebounding, physicality, things like that, I think they have the advantage there. But hey, skill for skill, they're pretty even.
Right.
And it showed. I don't know who's winning right now. Last time I checked, it was Dallas.
Dallas is up 65-51. It is about 6 minutes left in the third quarter. So,
and it's game five.
It's game five.
I expect Dallas to, like I said, I expected Dallas to win the series in 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I still got them in 6. So I expect Dallas to win this game and then close them out at home.
I can totally see it. But that's the thing is I'm rocking with the Thunder, but there's absolute possibility that Dallas is going to just finish this whole series off. Like,
yeah.
Last
game, Dallas lost by like 6 points.
Yeah, very close. Yeah.
Dallas missed like 15 free throws.
Wow. See, that says it right there.
Luka and Kyrie combined, Luka and Kyrie had less than 30 points.
Mm. See, that's not going to happen normally.
And they lost by 6.
Right.
So imagine if Luka or Kyrie just had like, not even, imagine if the team hit 7 free throws.
That's it, right? Like, that's the game.
Like, when the Mavericks have lost, outside of game 1, when the Mavericks have lost, I felt like they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I can see that.
And when the Mavericks have won, it's like, yeah, they're clearly, you can tell they're more experienced and they're more seasoned. And that's where they're getting these wins. They just know what sets to get into, when to get into them, who to run the plays for, who, when Kyrie gets the ball, when Luka gets the ball.
Right.
And that's, honestly, I'm not surprised by that. And that's exactly what I expected. And that's why I still feel confidently that Dallas is going to close this amazing, entertaining series out in 6 games.
Absolutely. Thunder would have nothing to be ashamed of in this one. This is a very well-balanced series, which I didn't see it coming, but I'm very much enjoying it. So we'll see. I think you're right. I think Dallas has it wrapped up tonight. Next game, I don't know. I feel like, again, I said Thunder in seven, I think. So I feel Thunder is going to pull this one out and get another win just to kind of bring it back. But they're in a fight. They may not have all the guns they need in Oklahoma yet. Just
not yet,
quite yet.
But they're very close.
We're getting there, yes. Yeah. Every year I'm seeing them add pieces, add skills, and just take that next step. So that's what makes me so excited about Oklahoma. It's like, I think it's a matter of just when it comes to a championship. They're almost there. So just,
and, you know, we talk about the NBA draft. Oklahoma City has a lottery pick.
Yeah.
In a draft where it's just a bunch of, like, damn near role players, and they're going to get another quality role player.
Mm.
So Oklahoma City is going to be scary for years to come. They're going to be running West very shortly here.
I think so. They built that team the proper way. Just long-term investments, lots of young guns, just a youth infusion, and then a superstar like Shea. Like, you're cooking with gas here. That's usually what sets an organization off for just a lot of success down the line. So I'm excited for them. That's a team that I've been watching for a long time now. So, good on them. Good on them. Let's go, Oklahoma, but we'll see. I don't know. Dallas is fucking tough, man. So one more thing about sports before we switch over to the last section of the evening. That's the NFL, just for a quick second, because there's a lot of money being thrown around right now. And one contract in general directly affects my man to my left here, I guess, to my right. I don't know. Depends on how you're looking at the screen. But the Detroit Lions and their boy, Jared Goff, this man's favorite quarterback of all time, came up with a new contract for Goff. The Lions are completely improved. They have pulled themselves out of mediocrity and the hellscape of an 0-16 season. And Goff is a big reason why they are now considered a threat. They are a solid, almost, I would say, an elite team at this point in the NFL. So the Lions, I expect them to come up this next season and be just as dangerous. So Goff had money coming. So the new contract is 4 years, $212 million with $170 million guaranteed. Goff is the Lions quarterback for the foreseeable future. And after all the turmoil and opinions you've had about Goff, the roller coaster of the ups and downs, how are you feeling about knowing you got him secure for your foreseeable future? He's your guy.
You know, if you would have told me this last offseason, I would have called you fucking nuts and I would have threw some shit at you.
That's understandable. Understandable.
But Goff has earned every penny.
I think so.
Goff has been one of the biggest reasons why the Detroit Lions have turned their entire franchise around.
Yep.
So I'm happy that Jared Goff got paid. I'm happy that the Lions are doing this the right way, taking care of our players now. You know, in the past, we haven't taken care of Barry Sanders. We didn't take care of Calvin Johnson. We made fucking Calvin Johnson pay his signing bonus back when all he ever did was break his body down to make the Lions respectable to watch. Because outside of Calvin Johnson, why the fuck were you watching the Lions?
You weren't.
Never.
Never. But Calvin Johnson, you watch Calvin Johnson. Megatron was a fucking shit.
Yeah.
I was never a Lions fan. I still tune in for Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, you throw it up. Yeah, good luck.
He's got it. Yep. He's down there somewhere.
And so I love how we've turned this team around from the inside out. And what I mean by that is from the front office to the players.
Yes.
Or from the owner to the front office to the players.
Yeah.
You know, it starts up top. And I love the direction we're heading in. I think, knock on wood, if no big injuries hit the Detroit Lions, we are winning the NFC and we're going to the Super Bowl. There's no doubt in my mind. We took care of our players.
Where should it be?
Took care of Penei Sewell, took care of Amon-Ra St. Brown, took care of Jared Goff. Did things the right way. All those guys were in-house, homegrown. I don't care if we traded for Jared Goff. He is homegrown.
Yeah,
he will be remembered as a Detroit Lion, not a L.A. Ram or a St. Louis Ram.
I barely remember him in the Rams.
No, he is a Detroit Lion. And so I am very excited for this upcoming season. But it does – I don't want to call it a concern, but it arises a question to me.
Sure.
What are we doing with Hendon Hooker?
You were very excited about drafting Hooker, and now he probably won't see the field at all unless something happens.
Yeah. No, unless Goff gets hurt. God forbid he does. But
right,
like, we are never going to see Hendon Hooker. And I think Hendon Hooker is a – he has a fantastic ceiling, in my opinion. Like he has great potential to be a playoff leading caliber starter in the league. You know, he can move, he can make all the throws, and he damn near won the Heisman before he blew out his knee.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know if we're gonna use him as trade bait. I'm sure he doesn't want to stick around until he's 30 to get a chance to start.
Michael Penix. Sorry.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, so like, do we use him as trade bait? Do we trade him to somebody like the Raiders and get, I don't know, Max Crosby or like Davante Adams or some shit
what?
Like that?
What? What? Are you drunk? You'll get a poke and a smile for Hendon Hooker. Are you kidding?
I mean,
zero trade value. Not no disrespect, but he hasn't done anything. He sat there.
I mean, shit, a man can dream, can't he?
You sure? You go ahead and dream. You go ahead and dream, man.
You're probably going to trade him to the Broncos for, like, Cortland Sutton.
A bologna sandwich, and you'll like it, with the crust cut off, if you're lucky. That's what you'll get. Again, but I want to remind you that Justin Fields just went for a 6th-round pick next year, and that motherfucker was a starter. Hooker ain't going for a can of Coke. He ain't going for a pixie stick. You can get a small Dunkin' coffee for him and Hooker. Deal. That's trade value. No offense.
Yeah, he got to put some film together, but yeah, that's the only question that arises. But overall, I feel very good about the team. Very good about where we're going. No question in my mind, we're going to win the NFC North. Just got to stay healthy to win the NFC.
That's true. That's very true. They went pretty fucking far last season. So yeah, I got big hopes for the Lions too. Of course, hopes for my team as well. And now that I even mentioned to you, the schedules have been released as of just a couple hours ago. And for some fucking reason, the Bears don't play a divisional game until week 11. So I'm like, this is the weirdest schedule I've ever seen. It's so strange. I think the first one is like the Packers in week 11. I go, that's like 10 whole weeks of us having a rookie get his bearings. So I'm actually okay with it because I'm like, we can work out all of our kinks in the first 10 weeks. And then it is, I think it's like Packers, Lions, Vikings, and then like Cardinals. And then it's like Vikings, Lions, Packers. It's all in the back half of the season. So we're going to be getting our reps in for 9 games plus a bye week. And then we're all going to slug it out for the division this year. That's what this is going to look like. So there's a good chance Bears come into the back half of the season with a winning record and fighting y'all a little bit. We'll see.
No, yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
I think the Bears are going to be very respectable this season. I also think the Packers are going to be very respectable this season, too.
The 3 teams, I think, are going to be fighting it out.
But the Vikings?
Minnesota.
Yeah, forget about them.
and Minnesota is also a football team.
Yeah.
There you go. They're here. They're also here.
They'll be last.
They'll be dead last. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. Somebody's going to be last. It's not going to be us. Fuck all that. So, I actually agree. I think locking up Goff, and I'm glad you brought up St. Brown and Sue as well. I think, Lions are spending a lot of fucking cash to lock up that team. It's because they're a good team. I'm so glad they finally realized it. You want to keep your good players. You don't want to just use them as trade bait.
Or let them retire.
Or let them retire without any kind of accolades. You don't want to do that. So, yes, locking up, awarding, and rewarding your really good players, the captain of your team, that sends a great message to your locker room. If you perform well, you will be paid handsomely. So, there you go. I like the fact that they gave Goff the vote of confidence because, I never thought it happened. Goff going to Detroit was such a weird fucking move. He has brought them a shit ton of success. And the rebuild was sped up because of him. It's bananas. There's other players, too, of course, that has sped this. But Goff at the helm, I think he found his place. He found his calling. Just like Stafford with you guys was like, Stafford's a Lion. Stafford was the guy. He was the face of Detroit. Goff is, I think, another face of Detroit. I think he looks great with you guys. And, they're going to be a problem for a long fucking time. So,
I agree.
Buckle up, people. Buckle up. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, I got to do a commercial, but I got to pick something terrible out of my liquor cabinet. Give me 1 second.
Now, what is CJ going to grab? This is CJ's conscience. Am I going to grab some whiskey or am I going to grab some bullshit-ass tequila?
What do you have against tequila?
That shit's just disgusting. I'm sorry.
You've only had like Jose and shit, which is like the worst tequila.
Fucking Casamigos, fucking.
You don't like Casamigos?
Nah, fuck that shit.
Wow.
I'm a dark liquor kind of guy. So
well,
whiskey,
you know I am.
I'm cool with that. Yak, that's my shit.
Oh God. Oh. See, that's why your fucking flavor profiles are all fucked up, because you think yak is like gourmet. But a good tequila, not like the trashy tequila, a good tequila done right is great.
What do you mean? Like
Terramana, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's tequila. I talk about this shit all the time. That's
okay,
some smooth ass shit. He knew what he was doing with it.
It's The Rocks. So okay,
it's The Rocks.
I get it.
You can't put that out there, because I thought I'd mention this. Conor McGregor put out a whiskey called Proper 12 a few years ago. And when it came out, I said, oh, it's Conor McGregor. It's Proper 12. It's Irish whiskey. It's going to be the most amazing thing. That guy is from Ireland. He is born and bred, full-blooded Ireland. So, like, the whiskey is going to be amazing. That was one of the worst fucking whiskeys I've ever had in my life. Sorry, Conor. I respect you, boy. But Proper 12 is utter trash. It's gutter trash, too. So it's not always about the celebrity, because they can fuck it up. But with tequila and Terramana, Dwayne Johnson fucking nailed it. That shit is. Mm. I'll drink that shit any fucking day. Mm. Any day. So you just need good tequila. But to continue our new tradition of unofficial sponsors for the Bank Bro Show, today's unofficial sponsor is Jameson Orange. That's right. Jameson Orange flavored. So you know how sometimes you're in a mood for whiskey, which is pretty much all the time for me if you like your boy. And sometimes you're in the mood for mixing your drinks. And, you know, maybe a little ginger ale on the side with a whiskey, always a good hit. But those geniuses at Jameson came together and said, hey, what if we had a whiskey that did both for you? What if it was a mixer, but also a little bite of whiskey? It's like we whispered into a whiskey barrel a few miles away from the facility. And that's when I came up with Jameson Orange. Just for those little moments in between where you think you might need a little something sweet in your whiskey. I'm not that kind of person. The shit was gifted to me. But because they're an unofficial sponsor, I'm going to say nice things. Jameson Orange is a very specific product for a very specific drink. Whatever that drink is, I have no fucking idea, because I only got halfway through the bottle. And this was about 2 years ago that I've had this. So, Jameson Orange, unofficial sponsor. We love you, Jameson. Thank you so much for unofficially sponsoring the Bank Bro Show.
Hey, take a shot of it.
That is never happening. I'm doing it right now.
Hey, nice things, nice things, nice things.
Nice things. Unofficial sponsor. Let's try some Jameson Orange on the spot during a commercial, because no one ever does that shit. They always spit it out. I'm going to actually do it on the commercial.
Mm.
Cheers to you.
Cheers.
Very orange. Jameson Ooh, Orange.
That was great. Oh, my God. It tastes so
Jameson
good.
Jameson Orange.
Thank you, Jameson.
Unofficial sponsor.
Thank you, Jameson. We loved it. We loved it.
We loved it. My insides are fine. Anyway, for the last segment of this evening, because again, like we always say, we're getting to the point where sports are just going to be a little on the low key side. Especially once the NBA playoffs are over. Oh boy, we have to get real creative, just like we did last year. But whenever sports are low key, we like to go high key by playing a few games, of course. So I think we have two games. You've got a game that I'm very interested in, and I've got a game that's world famous, but we haven't played on the show before. So I figured today was a really good day for that. Do you want to start with your game or my game?
Start with your game. My game is going to be quicker.
Quicker. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you want to start with mine, which is going to be longer?
Yeah. We'll start with yours. We'll start with yours.
That is fair. All right. Well, I'm going to pull this up. That worked just fine. Perfect. Okay. Have you ever played the game, the world famous game, Heads Up?
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to play a version of Heads Up that's sports related.
I like it.
Yeah. So I figure with this, what we can do is, and the nice thing is about doing this on Zoom, I can turn my self view off so that we can play this appropriately, where I can't see myself putting the words on screen. For those of you who don't know, Heads Up is a game where I'll have a word, I'll put it on my forehead, I won't know what the word is, and Ryan is going to sit here and describe the word to me without using the word. And if I figure it out, we move on to another word, and I believe we have about a minute to get as many words as possible. So in this case, we do this a couple rounds. I have some sports-related categories, and I have some adult-related categories as well, just for a little fun. So with you, I think we'll stick with the basketball idea and go basketball classic.
Okay.
So I figure for this round, we can do one round with me and one round where I try to get you to guess the word. Okay. Pretty much.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Let me turn this self camera off. Can you still see me?
I can still see you. Yep.
Perfect. I can't see myself. Yep. Excellent. All right. We are ready. Make sure you tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
And then I will flip it. All right. Ready to go. In
two,
3, 2, 1.
Yep. One.
There we go.
What is the game being played on?
A court.
There you go. Got it. Okay. White boy. Used to play with the Seattle Seahawks, Seattle Supersonics. Played with Gary Payton.
Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah. the conference that the Badgers are in, that the Buckeyes are in, that the Wolverines are in, that the Spartans
Big Ten.
Are in. Yep. Kevin Harlan is what?
A guard? Forward?
Wait. No. Okay. Reggie Miller used to play, but now he's
a commentator, announcer, analyst.
You go. Yep. You got it. You got it. Announcer. Yep. Chet Holmgren went here.
Oh, fucking
Rui Hachimura went here too.
Oh my god. I'm blanking.
Their mascot.
I'll pass.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. So when this time's up.
Ah, damn.
Yeah. So The one you passed on was Gonzaga Bulldog.
Gonzaga, damn it.
Yeah. I was gonna go into their mascot.
Mascot would have got it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, not bad. 3 out of 5. Not bad.
All right.
All right, so now I'm going to get you to try to guess the words here.
So I'll just turn around.
Yep. Back on basketball. This is movie with Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan.
Oh, Space Jam. Space Jam.
Thank you. When you shoot a basket and it hits nothing but net, you call that
a switch?
Makes a sound. Yep. Yeah. A team in Canada won a championship. Nick Nurse.
Toronto Raptors.
Yes, sir. Oop, don't know what that one is. A famous women's basketball player, played for Seattle, I believe. One of the most famous ones of all time.
Sue Bird?
Yes. Damn. I don't know if that was Seattle or not, but I
think so.
If you get blocked on the shot, you say if Mutombo tupped you, you got
not in my house.
Right. You got stuffed. You got blocked. You got shut down.
Uh-huh.
Another word for that.
You got locked up.
No, like Akon. No, time's up. They got denied. Denied.
Oh.
You did good on that one, though. You got 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 6. So, not bad.
Okay.
Good. We'll do that again.
Is it going to be the same topic or a different topic?
Should we stick on basketball or go to the adult stuff?
Let's go to the adult stuff.
Adult stuff it is.
Okay. Yeah. Let's switch it up.
Let's see. This one's called adult supervision. Mm-hmm. All right. I think this one is just all about just raunchy shit. So try your best.
Let's do it. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
3, 2, 1. Show me that.
Thong?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You got it.
Nice.
It's a movie with, I think their last name are the Stitzlers. The Stiflers?
American Pie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got it. What the fuck? Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Oh, go down again. It didn't switch.
This thing is so stupid.
No, it didn't switch. They're rigging this.
Rigging it.
Okay. So not a thong, but smaller.
G-string?
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. You sip this Drake song. You sip this when
OJ burns Cody. Oh, damn it. Yeah, I got rigged.
You got rigged.
Oh, champagne room. Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. You got rigged, though. God damn.
That's fine. Your turn on this one, sir.
All right, man.
3, 2, 1, and go. If you get, like, Botox, it's called getting a
plastic surgery.
Yeah, but a very specific one. Just for your nose and eyes and mouth, it's all called a pass. It's called a facelift.
Okay.
Not brunette, but...
Blonde? Black?
Yeah, it's blonde.
Blonde? Okay.
That's stupid. If you are shaking your ass, it's called
twerking.
Yes. If you are the person who gets separated from your husband or wife, you're called
a divorcee.
Legally separated. Yes, exactly. If you wear it to, it's a swimsuit. You wear it to the beach for women. Very little.
Bikini.
Yes, you got it. Yes, ride the buzzer. Nice. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 out of 8.
They keep rigging it.
They keep rigging it. I know. It's the flipping part. It's so ridiculous. Oh, my goodness. Let's see if we can do one more topic.
Bet.
And then we'll switch to your game. The other one I have is for football.
Okay, let's do it.
Hopefully
that leads nicely into my game.
Hey, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Let's try this again. We'll try flipping it the right way.
3, 2, 1, boom. Will Levis plays here.
Tennessee Titans.
Yep. So college team, Michael Penix played here.
LSU? No.
Nope. Adunze played here.
Fucking, why am I blanking on this?
Not DC.
Not DC. Oh, pass. What the fuck?
Washington Huskies.
Oh, Washington. Damn it.
In the NFC North, they're going to be last.
Oh, the Vikings.
Yep. After the preseason, this is played.
The regular season.
Yep. Had the accident with Janet Jackson.
Justin Timberlake.
Yep.
Ah, ride the buzzer. Ride the buzzer. The accident. The accident. Oh, the fucking Huskies. I swear, between Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix, I get the two of them mixed up and I get their schools mixed up. I don't know what it is. I think it's the purple. It's the purple that throws me off.
Probably the purple. Yeah.
LSU and purple. Washington have that purple. I just go, And then LSU is like purple and yellow and Washington is like purple and gold. So I get them mixed up every fucking time. I swear to God. Okay. One time Let's for you. It. Let's see how you do it.
Let's get it.
He's the host of like Good Morning America and a lot of
Michael Strahan.
Yep. let's see. If someone's hurt, you have to put a new player in. That's called a what?
Substitution.
Yes. Not man coverage, but
zone.
Yep. You wear it on your head to protect yourself.
Helmet.
Yes, sir. It's a game play. It's not a championship game in college football, but it's an iconic one. Game? It's a color. Yep. What kind? It's the color.
Rose Bowl.
Nope. The other color.
Orange Bowl.
There you go. I was gonna say it's a fruit. The team that plays here, the university, it's located in Madison.
Badgers, Wisconsin Badgers.
Yes, sir. If the amount of players you're putting on the field, it's my starting
lineup.
Thank you. Okay. Yep. Quarterback of the Niners before Purdy came along.
Jimmy G.
Yes, got it. All right, the buzzer. Hey, you got 9 on that one. That was your best round.
Hell yeah! That finally stopped rigging it.
I know. Once I'm like holding it down and flipping it versus like on my head, which is like the original intent. It's actually a lot better.
Wow.
Gotta love those fucking apps, man. I'm telling you. All right. I'm going to bring myself back. There I am. Hey. Let's get your game going and then we'll wrap up for the night. Let me put your spinning wheel back on the screen here. So I'm very curious by this game.
So, as you bring this spinny wheel thing back up, I'll explain the game to the listeners. So here we have all 32 NFL teams on this spinning wheel that's going to randomly spin and pick a team. Now CJ and I will have the opportunity of picking whether we want to pick offensive players or defensive players. We are going to build a team that will go against each other in Madden.
Oh shit.
And so with this game, obviously, there'll be a 7-game series. We will come back to this next week. And loser has to take shots. Shots equal to the amount of games that their team won minus 7.
Okay.
Minus 4. I'm sorry. So if, let's say, my team won 4-2, CJ would have to take 2 shots.
Okay. Gotcha. Difference.
Yes. So
I like it.
So CJ... Did you want to pick offense or defense? And mind you, if you pick one, you're not picking the other.
Okay, so just so I know.
Yes.
Am I picking like an entire offense or just
an entire
players?
Offense? Left tackle, right tackle, halfback, fullback if you want. However,
so
you want to assemble your offense.
An entire offense, I'm going to spin the wheel and that team's offense is what I get.
Nope, that you get to pick a player from that team.
Okay.
Yep. And so
I was like, that's
so, okay. Yeah, let me explain that too, because I didn't explain that. Thank you. So the wheel's going to spin and land on a team. Say it lands on the Dolphin.
Sure.
DJ, if he wants to pick offense, will pick an offensive player, and I will pick a defensive player from that team.
For the same team. Okay.
Yep, from the same team.
Yep. I like it.
Yeah.
So
did you pick offense or defense?
Well, I'm an offense guy. I know I'm a Bears fan, but I like the offense because now we have one. So I'm very excited about that. I'll pick offense.
All right, I will keep track of this. You go ahead, spin the wheel.
Spinning.
Yep.
I said spin it.
All right, you got the
Raiders.
Who are you picking?
Davante Adams.
Okay. So you got wide receiver 1, Davante Adams.
Yes, sir.
I'll go with Max Crosby.
I knew it. I was like, fuck Max Crosby.
Let's get it. Let's get it.
I like it.
Next spin. So we're going to get 11 total spins.
And I'm assuming we're not repeating any teams?
Nope.
I like it. All right. Moving on. Let's see who we got. Now, how many of these players are we going to pick? Like the entire fucking teams?
11. So we get 11 rounds.
Oh, you did say 11. I'm sorry.
Yep. All 11 right. rounds.
Now, do I have to pick Saints. Offense every single time?
Yep.
Okay. Offense all the way. Chris Olave.
Chris Olave. Okay. I like it. Let me get Marshawn Lattimore.
Oh, fuck. My offense is going to be fucking stacked. I already know this. So I'm going to get 40 points a game. He's going to fucking pick off 8 times. I already
You're
going to
get just
it.
A bunch of like AI auto-drafted players on offense.
Yep. Love it.
I mean on defense.
On defense, yeah. Good Lord. The Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase, baby. Let's go. That trio is nasty. That's so a nasty trio.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh my God.
I'm going to go. Let's see here. I'm not going to pick another. I should pick a D end here, but I'm not going to. I'm going to take defensive back slat. Well, he's a safety. Yeah, I'll play him at safety. Daxton Hill.
Okay. Not bad. This offense is going to be ridiculous. But okay, I'm good on receivers. Okay. I'm going to need some fight. I need a quarterback. I need a running back. Come on, man. I need a tight end.
I'm surprised you didn't pick Joe B.
I could. I told you, man. Now that I have receivers, I need a team with like 3 studs or receivers. Oh, Bills. Josh Allen. Let's go.
Josh Allen. Okay.
So those 3? This is a wrap. This is a fucking wrap, bro.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Oh, that my is God.
Really nice. I'm going to go D tackle Ed Oliver.
Oh, great pick. Great pick. Nice.
Too bad they let go of their entire fucking secondary. I was going to pick Tre'Davious White. I need all the corners I can get.
Yeah, you do. Oh, man.
All right, round 5. Round 5.
Titans. Titans, huh? Ooh, boy. Let me get. Oh, is he still on the team? 1 second. Depth chart. I'm assuming we're going off current rosters, or are you talking about
old current rosters? Current
23
rosters.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure.
Yep. Remember, you got O lineman to pick too.
That's what I'm looking at right now. Let me get fucking. Ooh, he's a rookie.
There's an easy pick here for you, but I don't know if you're gonna pick it.
I feel like I want to take Cushenberry, but that's yeah. Give me Cushenberry.
Cushenberry.
Yeah.
Our center Cushenberry.
Yeah, yeah. I like him.
I would pick Peter Skoronski.
That was the 2 I was thinking about. Yeah. I like Cushenberry, I like Skoronski, but Cushenberry's got a little more experience. So I was like, I like Cushenberry a little more, but Skoronski, yeah, he's great too.
I'm gonna take Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle.
That's a great fucking pick. Oh man. The idea. Once I got to the line, I'm like, I'll be fucking screwed. But it's all right.
Come on. Give us something good. Give us something good, man. Ravens.
No, it looks like Vikings. Oh, it's the Vikings.
Oh, fucking Vikings, man.
Let's see. If I had to go offense, shit. Give me Aaron Jones. I'll take it.
Aaron Jones.
I'll take
it. If I was you, I would have took Justin Jefferson.
I'm out of receivers.
Fuck it.
4 receivers?
Fuck it.
Come on. I took Jones thinking I could only have 3 receivers, but 4? That's ridiculous, dude.
Oh, man. Hold up. The Vikings are so ass.
I was saying, good luck with that defense.
Okay. First player that comes to mind. Damn, that's tough. Am I really going to take a rookie here?
Ooh.
Am I really going to take a rookie here?
I mean, if it's the rookie I'm thinking, I would.
Yeah.
I would.
Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got to go with Dallas Turner, defensive end.
I think he's a star right now on that team. He was a rookie. So, yeah, that's a good pick. Dallas that's what Turner. I would take.
Okay, yeah. All right, nice. So I got my D-line set. D-line is set.
Nice. Give me something good.
Steelers? Browns.
Browns.
Fuck! I would have took Miles. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. Miles Garrett would have been perfect for you.
It's all right. It's all right. This is another good pick here.
Mm-hmm. See, I would have took Chubb over Jones, I think, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Let me get Jack Conklin.
Okay, right tackle.
Yep, I'll take that.
Okay, and I'll take corner Denzel Ward.
Oh, fuck. 8 picks a game. I already know it's coming. I already know it's coming. Damn corners, man.
These corners. I need one more corner. At least one more.
Seahawks, yes!
Oh, yes! Man.
This is perfect. I know exactly who I want.
Oh, boy. Okay.
This really sucks for you because the Seahawks shine in the skill positions.
I know! If I'm not taking another receiver, because, again, I don't need four fucking receivers, but I guess I could. But I already took a left guard, right?
No, you took a right tackle and a center.
Let me get Lakin Tomlinson.
Lakin? Okay.
Yep.
My old buddy from Detroit.
Yes, sir. He's put it together in Seattle.
And I'm going to take nickel corner Devin Witherspoon.
I already fucking knew it.
Perfect.
That's sick. I'm sick with it. That's all right, though. Again, all right. My offense is going to go fucking crazy, so I'm not even that worried about it. It's the Panthers, isn't it? Yep. Oh, no, not the Panthers.
Oh, okay. I like this. I like this, actually, because I think he's still on the team.
So my left side is all good, isn't it? In my center?
You got Jack Conklin, right tackle, Lakin Tomlinson, left guard, Cushenberry, center.
So right tackle, left guard, and center.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Ike Mekwonu.
Okay.
Yeah. Big boy. I'll take it.
Tackle?
Yep. Left tackle.
Yep.
Fucking Carolina. I know who you're taking. Well, actually, no. You might already have that spot filled up.
Yeah, I do.
Shit.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple that I would take, but yeah.
I'm going to wait on another DB, and I'm going to take a linebacker. I'm going to take Shaq Thompson.
Yeah. You'd be dumb not to.
Shaq Thompson. He's a good athletic linebacker.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. We got two more rounds to go.
Well, say, I think I need one more lineman and a tight end, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Yep.
If that's how you want to build your team, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I got to have a tight end, bro. Patriots. Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
I got to check and see if the guy I want is still on the Patriots.
I don't want to pick ass. So I need what, a right tackle left?
Nope.
What do I need left on the line?
You need a right guard.
Right guard. Oh, not here. If I have to take a tight end, I guess, since that's how I'm trying to build a team. Hunter Henry.
Okay.
He's got a little bit of some. With Josh Allen, I like it better. So, shit.
All right. I'm taking safety Kyle Duggar.
Okay. Kyle Duggar's great.
One of the few
bright spots on that defense.
Uh-huh.
And then this will be the last one, I guess.
So this spot has to be a right guard.
Oh, how fitting. We end with the Bears, baby. Yeah, boy.
Okay.
That one more time. What O-lineman do I need? Right guard?
Right guard.
Fuck, I don't want Nate Davis. Oh, man. The time I get to my team, I got to take Nate Davis. Fine. Nate Davis. Oh, fuck my life.
Nate Davis.
That's crazy. We got a dude named Bill Murray on the team. That's amazing.
All right, so I got four down linemen. I got three corners, one linebacker, two safeties. I'm going to take another safety here, and I'm going to take – fuck, why can't I think of his name right now? I know who I'm talking about.
You're talking about Brisker, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, Jaquan.
Jaquan Brisker.
Yep.
I started shaking my head. I'm like, I'm fucking screwed.
Yeah.
I'm fucking screwed. Brisker's a dog.
Brisker's a dog. He's physical. He's a physical safety.
Absolutely. So, yeah. 10 picks a game. It's fucking happening.
Brisker. Okay. All right. So, as we finish this game, CJ Squad reads Devontae Adams, Chris Olave, Jamar Chase as wide receivers.
Nasty.
Quarterback Josh Allen.
Woo!
Running back Aaron Jones.
Get out the way.
Tight end Hunter Henry.
Decent enough.
And from left tackle to right tackle, he has Ikwanu,
mm-hmm.
Lakin Tomlinson, Lloyd Cushenberry, his boy Nate Davis, and Jack Conklin.
Not a bad line at all.
Not bad.
And a ridiculous skill position. So
I'll take that. Yeah. And then my defense reads, starting with the defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
At one end, Max Crosby, D-tackle, Jeffrey Simmons, Ed Oliver. The other end, Dallas Turner. I think my defensive line is going to destroy
your offensive line. Oh, my God.
My D-line's killing your O-line.
Oh no. Yeah, I'm screwed there.
And then at linebacker, I have Shaq Thompson. And then at
Fuck.
sub linebacker, which is a safety playing in that linebacker role, I'm gonna have Kyle Duggar there.
Jesus.
And then my corners, outside corner one, Marshon Lattimore, corner two, Denzel Ward, nickel, Devin Witherspoon. And then up top, safeties, I got Jaquan Brisker at strong and Dax Hill at free.
Fucking hell.
So
That's a stacked lineup.
I think you clearly have the advantage on the perimeter, but I got the advantage in the trenches.
Everywhere else, yeah. Oh, I'm doing corner routes the whole fucking time. Nothing in the middle. None of that go shit. None of that post shit. Just stay on the corner. Stay on the sides. Just stay on the sides. Just work the fucking lines, bro.
Man, let's see what
God.
Madden thinks of this.
I was gonna say you better be simming this and not actually playing against my team,
Yeah,
because that's gonna
we're
be
gonna sim it. Why would I play? Because I'm gonna beat computer.
destroyed my team. But yes,
But
I
yeah,
like this. This is an interesting idea.
we're gonna sim it, and I'll send you the results before next show.
Excellent. Sounds
Yeah.
good. We'll put them on the show for the fans, and then we'll take some fucking shots because that's what we like to do. So
Oh yeah.
I definitely want to do this after this time. I want to do this again now that I'm kind of like, I got my feet wet with it. Now it's making my brain tingle, and I'm like, ooh, I want give me another crack at this, especially with the defense. Now I want to flip this next time too. So
Okay, bet. Hell yeah.
fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Let's fucking run that.
Hell
Oh
yeah.
man. All right, sorry about some roars for your adoring fans for the night.
Last words. Normally this would be saved for some type of NBA topic, but we let that shit go already.
Of
So
course.
I'm gonna talk about some fight news.
Oh
Shout out that
yes.
boy, Lomachenko. Recently with the belt.
Yeah.
I thought he beat Devin Haney, and he stopped George Kambosos, who Devin Haney couldn't stop in two fights. So shout out to Lomachenko, got a belt again, coming back for blood. He's gonna get all his belts. I'm excited to see if he fights Shakur Stevenson next, or does he fight somebody like, no, Tank is in a different division, but yeah, does he fight Shakur Stevenson?
Yeah.
That'd be a great fight. And I'd watch the shit out of that fight. But yeah, shout out to Lomachenko. Keep doing your thing, my boy. Legend in the sport.
Hell yeah. We've talked about Lomachenko on the show before too. So yeah, definite fan. And like we said before, boxing's getting a little bit of a renaissance right now, man. Big fights are coming out and they're all fucking banging, right? So it's crazy. I'm liking what I'm seeing from boxing. I'm still gritting my teeth at this future Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight because the more I see of it, I'm like, this is gonna tarnish Tyson's legacy, and I'm not here for it. But I'm still gonna fucking watch it, so I'm kind of here for it. Just saying, like, I have to watch it. I have to watch it. Tyson's my guy, but fuck, this is a farce, dude. Ugh. We'll cover that when it gets around that time, folks. It's coming up this summer. I think actually, was that in July? It's coming.
Yeah, but that should be rigged too.
Of course, it's rigged. Even coming into it, we know it's rigged. We know the rules are stupid. You can't even knock Jake Paul out because of his fucking clauses he has, because no one's trying to get sued and shit for accidentally knocking him out because he's an amateur. But whatever, what do I know? Just here talking on the fucking microphone. But in the meantime, make sure you guys come back and see us for the rest of the fight news and for all the other fun and games we'll have in store for you. And you know where you can find that? That's the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com. That's also at Bank Bro Show on Instagram. So make sure you see all of our content because it's colorful and beautiful and hilarious and worth your time. So that's a pretty good reason, four reasons right there to check out your boys. But come back next week, right here, same time, same channel. The Bank Bros are in your city as we always are. We're here for you, and you can motherfucking bank on it. We'll see you next time.
1, 2, 3. Ha ha!